देवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नन्दनाय च नन्दकोपकुमाराय गोविन्दाय नमो नमः। Hare Krishna. So we will study chapter 6 of canto 7th. Prahlad instruct his demonic schoolmates. And so Prahlad Maharaj is actually a very exalted soul. Chaitanya Charitamrita was saying how Prahlad word indicates that how he is situated under the Haradhani potency of the Lord. Under the pleasure potency of the Lord, which is described in Chaitanya Charitamrita as The function of Haradhani potency is described as Haradhani karai Krishna ananda aswadan Haradhani radwara kare bhaktera poshan. That is, Haradhani potency gives pleasure to the Lord and it nourishes the devotees. This potency nourishes the devotees. So therefore, we can see that how Prahlad Maharaj, he was nourished by this potency of the Lord. Because he was always joyfully executing Krishna consciousness. Right? And his activities were also a source of great pleasure to the Lord also. Right? So like that, so Prahlad Maharaj is that great Mahabhagavata who is actually situated under Haradhani potency of the Lord, Prahlad. He himself also says in one of the verses, to Lord Narsingdev, that Tava Mahamrit Magna Chitta, that I am always absorbed in hearing and chanting about you, right? But I am lamenting Socheta to Vimukcheta Saindriyartha. What is that verse? How that verse begins? Tava mahamrita magna chitta, and I am absorbed. Naivo duje par durattaya vaitaranyas tava virya gayan mahamrita magna chitta, like that, right? So that is exalted Prahlad Maharaj. And we are going to study today what did he preach to his friends, right? So No. Imagine we are sitting in a class where Prahlad Maharaj is speaking now. Right? So Prahlad Maharaj is a great preacher. We will see how. Shri Prahlad Uvacha Kaumaracharit Pragyo आचरेत प्राज्ञो धर्मान् भागवतामिह दुर्लभं मानुषं जन्म तदप्येद्ध्रुवमर्थदम्।
Maharaj said, one who is sufficiently intelligent should use the human form of body from the very beginning of life, in other words, from the tender age of childhood, to practice the activities of devotional service, giving up all other engagement. The human body is most rarely achieved, and although temporary like other bodies, it is meaningful because in human life one can perform devotional service. Even a slight amount of sincere devotional service can give one complete perfection.
Okay, so very, very beautiful verse. Komar Acharit Pragyu. So Prahlad Maharaj is saying, actually, he's making a very important point actually. He's saying, intelligence is to take up to Krishna consciousness from the early childhood, as early as possible. Right? Now they're all Kumars, they're around 5 years of age, all of them, you know, or less than 5 years age. Right? So Prahlad Maharaj is saying, therefore, from now only, you know, we can't delay. Intelligence lies in taking up Krishna consciousness as early as possible and not to delay it. Right? So, if you are speaking to students, you said Krishna consciousness should be practiced from student life only, now itself. You got the point. So as soon as a person realizes, knows the importance of Krishna consciousness, it should be practiced from then only, without any delay. Right? So therefore he's saying, you are all children, now is the right time to practice. And he will develop actually this theme. And Prabhupada also takes that thread. So remember this instruction of Prahlad Maharaj, this thread will follow in the entire chapter. Komaram acharet pragyo. Intelligence is to take up Krishna consciousness as early as possible. They are children, now practice from childhood itself, he is saying. Dharman bhagavatamiha. Right? Acharet. What is it to be acharet? Dharman bhagavatam. Practice this bhagavat dharma from as early as possible, from your age only, your kumars. Practice from this age itself. Right? Why? Because dullabham manusham janma. This human form of life is rarely achieved. Tad ape adhruvam arthadam. Although it is temporary, it is full of meaning. Right? So, Prabhupada says in the purport, this verse we should all memorize it actually, because it is the most important, the first verse, and this is this teaching will be continuing actually. We'll see the thread of this teaching throughout the chapter. So, you already reciting this verse in your recitation, right? So, we will try to memorize it further, right? So, but you should see the clear word-to-word meaning. Komar, from your age now only, they are children, right? Acharet, pragyo is intelligent person. Intelligent person should practice dharman bhagavatamiha, this bhagavad dharma. Because like human life is very rare, and although temporary, it is full of meaning. Tad ape adhruvam arthadam. Adhruvam is temporary, arthadam is very full of meaning. Okay, so we will try to memorize this verse. So some of you who have already memorized it previously, anyone who has already memorized it till now? Anyone else? Two of you have memorized it. Okay, so try to memorize as we are. You also have memorized it. Anyway, those who have memorized it and are feeling shy also, not confident, you should become all confident and should be able to recite this verse, right, and memorize it by the end of the class. Okay. Yes, okay, some of you recite. Komaram acharet pragyo. धर्मान् भागवतामिह दुर्लभं मानुषं जन्म तद्यपि अध्रुवम् अर्थदम्। यस् प्रभु। कौमारमाचरेत् प्राज्ञो धर्मान् भागवतामिह दुर्लभं मानुषं जन्म तदपि अध्रुवम् अर्थदम्। Yes, yes. Some of you recite. Komaramacharet pragyo dharman bhagavatamiha nullabham manusham janma adhape adhruvam arthadam. कौमारमाचरेत् प्राज्ञो धर्मान् भागवतामिह मानुषं जन्म तद्वयद्वमर्थदम्। यस् यस्। सम मोर डिवोटी शुड रिसाइट ट्राई इवन इफ यू। कौमाराचरेत् प्राज्ञो धर्मान् भागवतामिह दुर्लभं मानुषं जन्म तदप्यद्रुमर्थदम्। कौमाराचरेत् प्राज्ञो धर्मान् भागवतामिह दुर्लभं मानुषं जन्म तदप्यद्रुममर्थदम्। Someone else. कौमाराचरेत् प्राज्ञो धर्मान् भागवतामिह दुर्लभं मानुषं जन्म तदपि अध्रुवमर्थदम्। ओके, सो प्लीज मेमोराइज दिस वर्स वेरी नाइसली, राइट? सो Prabhupada says in the purport, the whole purpose of Vedic civilization and of reading the Vedas is to attain the perfect stage of devotional service in the human form of life. Right? So, dharman bhagavatan refers to Prabhupada says the devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And other places Prabhupada says this dharman bhagatam refers to this dharma spoken by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Dharmam tu shakshat bhagavat pranitam, that is also dharman bhagatam iha. General devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead is a bhagavat dharma, right? So it should be practiced from early life. Right. So, Prabhupada says in the fourth, fifth line of the purport, from the age of 5 years, one can practice modifying one's human activities so as to engage perfectly in devotional service. Okay, so these are very important lines. All the modern science is teaching us that you modify the material nature, right? You modify the material nature and make the material nature suitable to your purpose, right? But Bhagavad Dharma Prabhupada is saying, Bhagavad Dharma entails that we have to modify our human nature. The whole approach is 180 degree opposite. Whole modern science is what? How you can modify the material nature, right? But Bhagavad Dharma is what? How we can modify our nature Now we are working upon ourselves, actually. Right? So, the point is that we have a conditioning of millions of lifetimes. And the desire to enjoy the selfishness within the heart, it's all very deep-rooted. And it is not easy to give it up. It's not easy to get free from them. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj is saying, therefore we have to start this practice as early as possible. Because it's not an easy task. Our nature to enjoy and our deep-rooted selfishness has been continuing for many millions of lifetimes, right? So not an easy task. Now we are looking at modifying our nature, right? Our inherent conditionings. Now, and we say our nature is not. We are not talking in terms of swabhav, you know, or in terms of varnashrama, where Krishna says you act as per swabhav. You know, one can take up a particular occupation, etc., as per one's acquired nature from the material. We are not talking of that. Now, we are talking of the inherent conditionings. Basically, the root cause of coming to this world, we are talking of. Right? We are talking of going to the root cause, the nature of being an enjoyer, actually. So that we have to, from the nature of being an enjoyer, we have to actually become actually a servant of Krishna. We have to develop the attitude of a servant. Right? So that's quite a difficult task. Right? So therefore, Prahlad Maharaj says, one should practice from the very early life. That is an important point. Then Prabhupada says, modern civilization, not referring to the verdict of the Vedic literature. This is around the 8th or 9th line of the purport. Modern civilization, not referring to the verdicts of Vedic literature, is so cruel to the members of human society that instead of teaching children to become brahmacharis, it teaches mothers to kill their children. Even in the womb, on the plea of curbing the increase of population. And if you go ahead 5-6 lines. The Krishna consciousness movement is anxious to serve human society by teaching people to perform devotional service, which can save a human being from being degraded again to animal life. In all school, colleges and universities and at home, all children and youth should be taught to hear about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, Prabhupada saying, again Prabhupada in this particular, making the point of in all the school, colleges and universities, at home, all children, everyone should, you know, Prabhupada is targeting early preaching, you know, just like the point in college preaching when we go, we try to target the first year people. You know, first year, in as early as possible, you have to catch them. Right? But even nowadays, before they come to college, people are spoiled. Right? So we said, target them in the coaching classes or schools. You know, so we were once discussing, and we were saying, actually, as college is going to increase, we have to target them as early as possible, and then probably one day we'll have to start preaching them within the womb of the mother itself. Because the climate of Kali Yuga, as soon as they will come out, they will be spoiled, you know. So, you know, one day probably it will happen, you know. That just like Narad Muni, you know, he already has a kind of priest. Right? He was actually preaching to Prahlad Maharaj. Right? When he was just in the womb itself. Like that. So, as early as possible, if we can take up to Krishna consciousness, and if we can teach other Krishna consciousness as early as possible, That is very beneficial. That is one of the main points. Right? And then Prabhupada says, following Bhagavad Dharma has been made extremely easy in this age of Kali. One need only chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Go to text 2. यथा हि पुरुषस्येह विष्णु पादोपसर्पणम् यदेश सर्वभूतानां प्रिया आत्मेश्वरः सुहृत्.
The human form of life affords one a chance to return home, back to Godhead. Therefore, every living entity, especially in the human form of life, must engage in devotional service to the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu. This devotional service is natural because Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the most beloved, the master of the soul, and the well-wisher of all other living beings.
Okay, so Prahlad Maharaj is explaining that this Bhagavad Dharma is very natural to the soul, right? So something which is very natural can be actually easily undertaken, right? A person who has a natural, something which is a foreign to a person, that takes a lot of practice, right? Just like for just one small example, like we are naturally we live on earth, right? So therefore any human being is very comfortable. Even a child can start walking on the earth. But our natural place is not water, right? So swimming takes a lot of effort, is it not? So if one has to learn swimming, it is quite effort. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj is saying, look, this Bhagavad Dharma is quite natural, right? So because the Supreme Lord is situated within the heart, and he is everyone, three things Prahlad Maharaj says. Priya Atmeshwara Suhrit. He is everyone's very dear friend. He is the super soul everyone has. And he is a well-wisher friend. Right? Supreme Lord is within everyone. So therefore, it is very natural to actually serve him. Because there is already a relationship. There is already a relationship. So therefore, Prahlad Maharaj is pointing that out. And Prabhupada quotes, Bhoktaram yagya tapsam sarva lok maheshwaram suhridam sarva bhutanam gyatva mam shantim richati. Right? And if you see, it's very similar verse to what Prahlad Maharaj has said. Priya atmeshwara suhrit. Bhoktaram yagya tapsam. He is actually very dear. Right? Krishna, he is the enjoyer of all the yajnas and everything, right? So therefore we should consider him to be the enjoyer. Actually, he is the most dear. If a person is very dear, you want him to enjoy, right? So he is very so all enjoyment should be given to him, right? Because he is very dear. So therefore Bhoktaram, first line relates to Priya, and Sarvalok Maheshwaram, right? He is the super soul of everything. He is sustaining everything. He is the owner also. Atmeshwara. So Atmeshwara closely relates to the second line. And Suhridam Sarvabhutanam, it directly relates. Suhrit. Suidam Sarvabhutanam. So he is the most well-wishing friend of everyone. So Prabhupada says, if one understands that he is the most dear and he is the most closest Atmeshwara, right? He is very dear, he is very closer, and he is a well-wisher. One, if one knows these three things, one becomes peaceful and happy. Then Prabhupada continues. He says in the middle of the paragraph, therefore the educational system in the human form of life should be so perfect that one will understand his intimate relationship with God. Right? So actually these three words also indicate the intimacy of relationship. So Prahlad Maharaj is saying, look, you know, to serve the Lord is a devotional service, Bhagat Dharma is so, is very natural because the relationship is very intimate. Right? How the relationship is intimate? Because he is very dear, he is most closest, and he is the well-wisher. Priya Atmeshwara Suhrit. So therefore Prabhupada is saying, actually, all the education system should establish this intimate relationship of God, right? So the relationship is in a dormant way. Education system should revive this intimate relationship of the soul with the super soul, of a living entity with God. Right? So we will see that how Prabhupada again and again talks of educational system in this chapter. Why? Because it's a school setting, right? We are studying a school setting. You know, Prahlad Maharaj is in a school and he's teaching his classmates, right? So because So this intimate relationship of the living entity with the Supreme Lord should be the focus of the education, right? Of the modern education. So Prabhupada talks of the educational system because we are in a school setting currently, right? With Prahlad Maharaj and his friends. And Prabhupada continues. This is 7th or 8th last line of the purport. Vishnu is the center of love for everyone, and therefore the duty of everyone is to engage in loving service of the Lord. As stated by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Isham Aham Priyatma Sutascha Sakha Guru Suhrido Devam Ishtam. In any form of life we are related with Vishnu, who is the most beloved, the super soul, son, friend and guru. Our eternal relationship with God can be revived in the human form of life, and that should be the goal of education. Indeed, this is the perfection of life and the perfection of education. It's a very important words. So somehow, you know, this is although the most intimate relationship, right, as we just discussed, exists with the Supreme Lord, but the conditioned soul is completely forgetful of that relationship, right? Somehow, unfortunately, the conditioned soul has completely forgotten that relationship. But the main purpose, Prabhupada is saying, of the human form of the life and the goal of educational system is to revive this relationship, right? So that's this point Prabhupada makes very emphatically again and again. Okay, we go to text 3. सुखम इंद्रियकम दैत्या देहयोगेन देहिनाम सर्वत्र लभ्यते दैवाद यथा दुःखम यत्नता.
महाराज कंटिन्यूड, माय डियर फ्रेंड्स, बोर्न ऑफ डेमोनिक फैमिलीज, द हैप्पीनेस परसीव्ड विद रेफरेंस टू द सेंस ऑब्जेक्ट्स by contact with the body can be obtained in any form of life according to one's past fruitive activities. Such happiness is automatically obtained without endeavor, just as we obtain distress.
Okay, so Prahlad Maharaj now is saying, now someone can say, you know, look, said this is the most important thing to render, you know, to revive one's relationship. But one has to, you know, work so hard in this world. You know, one has to work very hard in this world to gain the objects of sense gratification, right? So, therefore, Prahlad Maharaj is saying, सुखम इंद्रियकम दैत्या देह योगेन देहिनाम सर्वत्र लभ्यते दैवाद यथा दुःखम यत्नता. सेड वेल दिस सुखम इंद्रियकम, नाउ रिमेंबर वी आर टॉकिंग ऑफ द हैप्पीनेस व्हिच कम्स व्हेन द सेंसेस कम इन टच विद द सेंस ऑब्जेक्ट्स, राइट? सो पीपल से लुक, यू नो, टू अर्न इन दिस वर्ल्ड, टू arrange so many things that we need, you know, basic needs, to earn the most basic needs of the life, one has to work very hard, right? Actually, that's another thing, that how even so many things that we don't need also have become gradually a basic need, right? That's another thing. But anyway, the point is, everyone has to work hard, you know, and gather objects for sense gratification. But Prahlad Maharaj says, this, O son of Daitya, Sukham Endriyakam, the happiness that you will derive by your senses coming in contact with the sense object, it is obtained in every species of life. Sarvatra Labhyate Devam, it will come as ordained. It will come as ordained. So don't put much effort over there. That's Prahlad Maharaj's advice. Okay. What is so? Let's discuss a little bit about this point, because this point comes so many times in the scriptures. Right. One should not endeavor for objects of senses. It will come as ordained. Right. First of all, this Sukham Endriyakam. Now we are talking of actually the happiness which we get by contacting the sense objects with our senses. Sukham Endriyakam. What is the nature of this Sukham Endriyakam? What is the nature? No. I think, what is the nature of this Sukh? It is eternal Sukh. It's a temporary happiness. Right, so the nature we are discussing of Sukham Endriyakam, temporary, or the scripture says, yes, a flickering. Okay, so the first point about this Sukham Endriyakam is that it is flickering. It is there now, next moment is not there. Right? Next moment is not there. Okay, then what else? What is the nature we study about this Sukham Endriyakam? Or from our own experience also. Okay, you have to work very hard, you're saying. The nature of the Sukh, no, that is not the nature of the Sukh. That is, how do you get it is you have to work hard. We are saying the nature of the Sukh, this, the happiness is one derives by contacting the sense object. What is the nature of that happiness? It is flickering. Second? Oh, you are saying, okay, this Sukham, is flickering, and then it will not satisfy you. Right? Okay, the nature is it will not satisfy. You don't experience full satisfaction. The second point, you write it down. You don't experience full satisfaction. You don't experience full satisfaction, and actually this can be clubbed. Okay, tell more points from your experience. What are the other points? What is the nature of this happiness? Okay, second side is not satisfying. Yes, it is always mixed with misery. Write it in the third point. It's always mixed with misery. What else? The sukham endriyakam. This is very tucham, very small sukh. The amount of happiness you get is very small. Right? Yatham yan mithunadi grahmedi sukham hi tucham. And Prahlad Maharaj, this is Prahlad Maharaj verse only. This is, and he says the highest happiness of the material world, right, is also very tuch. So the this nature of this happiness is that it is very small, it is very flickering. Third thing, it is mixed with miseries always. There is no pure indriya sukha actually. If you see, it's always mixed with some misery or the other, right? You buy a new car, but then you have to pay the petrol prices. I know one person, one of our devotees, bought the car, and he has no parking place now, you know, in the Bombay. Sometimes he has to park 2-3 kilometers from his house, and then he has to park the car and take the cab to come back. he was sharing with me, you know. So you know, this is there is no pure indriya sukh actually. It's always mixed with the. Therefore, there is no satisfaction, you know, because it is so flickering. It's also very small, and that too small flickering does just go away. And as long as it is there, it's mixed with misery. Sukh bhi hai ki nahi isme kuch, you know, itna conditions, you know. So there is no satisfying. And another nature of this happiness, as being pointed here, is that it is very cheap. Sarvatra labhyate. Sir, there is nothing special in it. You know, because all the species, they are enjoying indriya sukh. All the species, very cheap. Right? And it said that it will come as ordained by destiny. You don't have to work hard. Most of the happiness of this life is predestined. Now we are talking happiness of Indra Sukh. When we say most of the happiness, most of the facilities that, you know, the happiness which will come by contacting sense with the sense objects are mostly predestined. Therefore, he said, simple example, miseries will come on its own. So this Indra Sukh will come on its own as predestined. So don't work hard. Bishad said, predestined means what? Because whatever your previous karma, it will come. He said, but let me invest in the future then now. You know, that means if you are working now, that happiness will receive in the future. Right? Okay, this is whatever will come to me because I worked hard. You know, that's how it's coming to me, whatever happiness coming. So if I stop working hard, what will happen to my future? That point person can make. You getting the point? What is the harm in that, you know, investing in the future? You should be far-sighted. Invest in the future. What about the future happiness? So if you just say, you know, don't endeavor, you say, come on, we have to work hard so that we can enjoy in the future. So Prahlad Maharaj will address that point also. Right? But herein he is just saying, look, analyze this Indriya Sukham. It's not it's not actually worth trying for, you know, because of its being so small, flickering, mixed with, and cheaply available everywhere, right? And anyway, it will come anywhere to you, so you don't have to worry hard, right? You don't have to work hard, it will come on its own. That's what Prahlad Maharaj is saying. So, and, another point is, overall, this, so because of these qualities, if you see, because of, you know, the so many conditions and, you know, such a small amount of Indriya Sukh, Prabhupada calls it so-called happiness. Prabhupada calls it so-called happiness because, you know, small will just go away, right? And that it will just go away, and when it goes away, what will happen? A person will suffer because some small sukh came and it went away. Because the nature is flickering, it will go away. Then a person will suffer. So this sukh itself is a cause of dukkha. That's another point. This sukh, indriya sukh, itself become a cause of dukkha. So therefore, what kind of sukh it is? You know, they said, therefore learned people, they said it is not sukh at all. You know, so it's practically dukkha. And more than that, this material world, the problems of whether there is someone has some little, it varies to little degree, you know, someone may, Prabhupada says this sukh varies by little degree and quality. You know, someone may have little more sense objects, someone may have less, etc. But then everyone ultimately suffers from birth, old age, disease, death. Therefore, this world is anyway dukkhalayam. Right? So, if you carefully therefore analyze, so practically this little sukh is also leading to dukkha, and there is anyway the whole world, the nature of this world is dukkhalayam because there is birth, old disease, and death. Right? So, therefore, it's not worth actually. Right? It's not worth to actually for an intelligent person to spend his entire endeavor in trying to get something very small which will ultimately produce misery. Right? So therefore, the 11th canto, there is one beautiful verse which says, Kim sukham marte dharmina. You talk of happiness? He said, life is a journey from a prison cell to a place of execution. Very clearly, a person is in a prison cell, he is being taken to be executed. Executed means he will be given, he will be hanged to death. Life is a journey from a prison cell to being executed. And on the way, you fool, you want to enjoy? Kim sukham marte dharmina? You are going towards your death. You are put in a prison cell, and you are being taken to the place where you will be executed, and you are looking for some enjoyment on the way. Kim sukham marte dharmina? You know, so this is Bhagatam like shatters all misconceptions. Kim sukham marte dharmina? Your journey from prison cell to place where you will be hanged, put to death. And you want to enjoy in between. No enjoyment. You know, the so-called Indriya Sukh is only so-called happiness. There is actually no happiness. Right? So like that. So remember that actually, even if there is no happiness, a conditioned soul is bound by the hope for happiness in this world. That hope has to be cut off. A living entity sees that, you know, I'm trying for happiness, but not getting happiness. But the hope doesn't go. Hope I will enjoy now, 5 years from now, when when the government changes, then, you know, whatever, you know, people's hope for enjoyment, situation will change, government will change, my job will change, wife will change, you know, then I will enjoy. You know, something will change and I will enjoy. The hope of enjoyment doesn't go. Right? So therefore, this hope of enjoyment keeps a conditioned soul binded to the material existence. In the scripture, they want to cut off that hope. Kim sukham marte dharmina? Happiness? What happiness you talk, you know? You're going towards death, being hanged now, right? From the prison cell. What happiness? Yeah? Very, very kind of. So, therefore, in this material world, one actually, although one has to work, do the needful in this world, everyone who is living this world, he has to work for some time to earn livelihood, to earn some sense objects. But not with the desire to enjoy, but not with the hope to enjoy. He has to just do the needful and do the minimum in that, knowing that it's all not worth. Right? So the whole point is being made is, you invest minimum on the material platform. Because whatever you invest will be ultimately doomed. Right? Whatever you invest in this in this material body will be ultimately finished. So you don't invest, you invest the minimum over here. Right? Tasev heto prayatet ko vidho. It's a very similar verse. Tasev heto prayatet ko vidho na labhate yad brahmatam uparreda. Right? Whatever you invest on this earth planet, not just here, on any investment in the heaven or even up to Brahmaloka, right? Brahmatam uparreda. Wherever you invest, it will be doomed. Invest minimum on the material platform. Just and then mainly one's concern should be executing Bhagavad Dharma. That is being explained. Okay, so Prabhupada says in the purport, thus there is no need to waste time and energy fighting against distress or working very hard for happiness. There is no need to waste time and energy. Just very minimal, you know. Just you have to do the needful a little bit. Just to keep the body, you know, and strong enough to actually execute Bhagavad Dharma. But that should not be the goal. Only wasting time to fight against distress and working hard for happiness. Right? That should not be the main purpose. Material happiness and distress come as soon as we accept a material body, regardless of what form. We cannot avoid such happiness and distress under any circumstance. The best use of human life, therefore, lies in reviving our eternal relationship with Supreme Lord Vishnu. Text 4. Tatpraya. तत्प्रयासो न कर्तव्यो यताहुर्व्यवापरम् व्ययापयम् नातथा विन्दते शेमम् मुकुन्द चरणं भुजम्.
Endeavors merely for sense gratification or material happiness through economic development are not to be performed, for they result only in a loss of time and energy with no actual profit. If one's endeavor are directly towards Krishna consciousness, one can surely attain the spiritual platform of self-realization. There is no such benefit from engaging oneself in economic development.
Okay, so now that question is being answered. You said, look, okay, you know, the conditioned soul desire is to execute bhakti but not give up sense gratification. You know, the two should let there be some facilities for sense gratification, let there be some enjoyment, and we will practice bhakti also. Win-win situation. We want a win-win situation. Because we are unable to see the fallacy in actually, you know, as Prahlad Maharaj is explaining, he said, the amount of time you spend in gathering sense objects, etc., that time is not worth invested. You know, that time can be actually much better utilized. So therefore, sometimes you think, no, what is the harm? You know, we'll do bhakti, we'll gather some objects of senses, right? Or, you know, if we'll invest in the future, right? You said, okay, now whatever in this life, some sense objects will come because we acted in the future. So we'll get some facilities and we will be able to execute devotional service. So we will do certain things, invest some time, in the future we get some facilities, etc. He said, Sarva Vishwanatha Thakur says, one should not endeavor for material happiness since it simply depletes one's lifespan. So look, in human form, you have a very limited lifespan. Therefore, you have to judiciously choose where to invest. You don't have unlimited lifespan. It's a very short time. Therefore, you will invest. You want to invest in future happiness, which will only bring misery, which will only bring sukham tucham, which is flickering, which will never satisfy you, which you have tasted in so many species of life, again and again. No, tat prayaso na kartavyo, this is not to be done. All the maximum energy has to be put for Natatha Vindate Shemam, for the Shemam word is used for achieving the ultimate goal of life. Mukunda Charanambujam. Don't waste the amount of time. So this is the nature of this Indriya Sukh is practically it's like dukkha only. Intelligent people see, you know, it's another form of dukkha only. You know, because of its nature, as we discussed. That who can call it happiness also? Right? Therefore, one should not waste life over there fruitlessly, and one should invest all the time in Mukunda Charanambujam. The real benefit is gained by worshipping the lotus feet of Mukunda, Mukunda Charanambujam. So, as I was sharing, you know that day on Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur appearance day, how he was saying, when there is no Harikatha, you know, if there is in life there is no Harikatha, the topics of Krishna, then it does not matter how comfortable the situation is. You know, Indriya Sukham is comfortable situation, facilities. He was saying, in our sojourn, actually, sojourn means in our journey, kind of, you know, in this journey which we are making, think such comforts and happiness strike me as extremely unnecessary and undesirable. Because these words come to true, you know, I just shared with you how imagine a person who worked very hard to gather all the facilities and comforts, but now he is in the last. He's just trying to gather his last few breaths, struggling to even breathe, right? Toward the end of the life, a person struggles to even breathe, right? He's gasping for some breaths, right? Some air, you know, which he can fill the lungs with. Right? What matters now? All the facilities and all the comforts, you know. Therefore, in this human form of life, He said, all these facilities and comforts, I see them, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, as completely, what the two words I used, completely unnecessary and undesirable. Right? Ultimately, seeing the goal, if we are focused on the goal, what is to be achieved, and if you see that, what if you miss it, you know, both ways, these were very undesirable things and unnecessary things. Right? Indriya Sukh, he says, is very highly undesirable, unnecessary, actually. Therefore, tat prayaso na kartavyo. Right? So, Prahlad Maharaj is saying, don't waste your time, you know. As now, whatever time you have, you know, you already wasted 5 years, that's enough, you know. Now don't waste any more time. So as soon as the person comes to know, now no wasting time in trying to gather material facilities, material comforts. They ultimately, from the viewpoint of achieving the ultimate goal of life, they are very highly unnecessary and undesirable. So don't strive for them. It will be simply, it will simply deplete our lifespan. Okay. Text 5. Yes, so these principles go against all the so-called principles of economic development. You know, I was just reading there's one famous some shopping mall. They were advertising that we have 1.5 million products in our shopping mall. This body is approximately 1.5 meters. 1.5 meters, this body wants 1.5 million products. You know? You know? Approximately 1.5 meters, the body, you know, maybe little taller or smaller, but just 1.5 million products for this 1.5 meter long, you know, what to do with all these products? You know, there is no end to all the economic development and, you know, the consumption and all that. It's all such a waste of time. You know? So we have to first understand it ourselves, actually. The whole point is we understand it ourselves, we practice it, and then we preach it according to... preaching is very is a sensitive thing because preaching is always according to desh, kal and patra, you know, person who is receiving. You have to gradually give him the dose which he can digest. Even the medicine, it is said if you give overdose of medicine and if it is not that is not digested, it doesn't produce any good to the body. Especially Ayurveda. They have to give a medicine which a person can digest. Yeah, if the medicine is not digested, it doesn't do any good. So the preaching requires a great, it's a therapeutic science in that sense. You know, you see how severe is the disease, how ready is the person to accept the medicine. Therefore, what kind of medicine should be prescribed gradually in that sense, right? One medicine which works for everyone is prasadam. For most of the cases, you know, just like any good doctor will put some vitamins anyway, you know, chalo, thoda vitamin to khao extra, you know, have some, what do you call, you know, it will help body to fight some kind of disease, right? So nourishment, so the prasadam always is acts, right? Prasadam, and a person can appreciate holy names, etc. And gradually, one cannot just speak directly, give him a strong medicine which he will just vomit out immediately, you know, and then which will not do any good. But now we are discussing now these principles we are discussing for our, first of all, we should not just study every principle to preach actually. First consideration is to practice ourselves. Are we fully convinced? Are we fully convinced? Right? This example came to my mind, you know. Even as when Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he was doing Chaturmas or that he was doing Shatkoti Nam Yajna for 10 years, right? We discussed that day. Performing, chanting 1 billion names in 10 years. So during the rainy season, when the water would leak in his hut, he would just hold an umbrella and continue to chant. He never even bothered to spend time to repair the hut. Up to that extent, acharyas have shown, not worth putting time in trying to arrange comforts of material body. Just see that. This is a practical example shown by acharyas, you know, in that sense. Of course, we cannot imitate, but follow the principle of minimal. Our life now we're discussing, you know, invest minimum on the material platform. Invest minimum because the whole investment is actually will be ultimately doomed. Right? Whatever you have invested, the bank of Maya is going to say, sorry sir, bankruptcy declared and no returns. Nonsense. Know for sure that there are no returns on the material platform. Everything, all the investment is doomed over there. So invest the minimum and one should thus remain focused on Mukunda Charanambujam. So we have to study these principles for our practice, and when we go out to present, that requires a lot of another sensitivity, and you know, then Krishna also helps how we can present a particular principle for a person to understand properly, right? So like that. But as of now, I would say your main focus should be how do I implement this principle first. Right? What do I have to learn? Right? And how can I practice these principles in order to in order for my advancement, like that. Text 5. Anything else? Anyone wants to add anything or ask anything on this? Point. This is going to continue. Anytime you can raise hand and text 5. Tato yate ta kushala shemaya bhavam ashritah shariram paurusham yavan navipadyet pushkalam.
Therefore, while in material existence, bhavam ashritah, a person fully competent to distinguish wrong from right must endeavor to achieve the highest goal of life as long as the body is stout and strong and is not embarrassed by dwindling.
So, Prahlad Maharaj is saying, look, very important point. Why this Bhaga Dharma should be practiced from the early age? Okay? So, Kumaram Acharet, I have generalized it to early age. Why? Because not everyone may come to know at the age of Kumar, you know. Because Prahlad Maharaj Hindal will say, you know, 20 years are gone just in playing only, you know, playing and whatever, study, college, etc. 20 years are definitely gone like that. Right? Most of the people come to know about Krishna consciousness after 20, you know, even ISKCON also, because we are mainly doing college preaching. Right? So, but therefore he's saying, look, very important point made here to support why Kumar Acharet Pragyo is, we have to transcend this material existence or this we have to transcend bodily platform by using this very body. this body is a source of problem, but this body only has to be used to transcend the bodily platform. Shemaya bhavamashrita. Bhavamashrita, second line of the verse. Bhavamashrita means we have taken shelter of this material existence. And shemaya means we have to get out of the material existence. Because we have this body, we are under the material existence. With this very body, we have to get out of the material existence. Okay? So, therefore, as long as he's saying, your body is strong, you have a better chance of trying to get out of it. Use this body as a tool. This body is our only instrument practically. With this body only we have to transcend the bodily platform. Right? So therefore, now what will happen? If the time passes, you don't practice on early age, the disease becomes severe and the tool becomes blunt. The disease will grow and your tool, this body like a tool, it will actually become rusted or become blunt, right, this body. So therefore, you will miss this golden opportunity. Right? As early as possible, when the disease has not become severe, right? Kumar acharit pagyo, because the disease of material existence is not as severe as it will be towards the later ages. And now, this very tool, this body, the tool also to transcend this body, the tool is now very strong and stout, it is very sharp. So do the surgery now only. You know? Otherwise the tool will become blunt, you know, won't work properly. What will you do then? Right? Just like Bhaktivinoda Thakur also says, you know, now this body, you know, has become old and invalid, you know, can't see properly. One of the very famous bhajan, he says, you know, what do I do now? He kind of say, you know, that I've usually spent my all the time, and now this body is, you know, infested with so many diseases, everything. What do I do now? You know, it's no longer a good instrument now. Right? So like that. So you know, I'm just giving comparing it to like performing a surgery. Right? The disease is not much, and the tool is sharp, and now you can perform surgery. In the old age, you know, before surgery, you know, you have to do all the medical tests. So in the old age, you will be infested with diabetes and the blood pressure and so many other complications, and surgery cannot be performed, right? You know that in the old age, it's old people, you know, there are, even to cure them by, even to give them a solution is so difficult because there are so many other problems. You have so much, you know, by the surgery itself, you will die before that only, you know. Before the disease, the surgery will make you die. Because you have so many other hypertension, diabetes, and you know, so many other tensions. Surgery itself will finish you off. So the solution can't be applied also. Right? So that's the condition. Therefore, Kumar Acharit Pragyo. This disease can be easily tackled, dealt with, you know, or uprooted, thrown out, when the instrument is strong. That's an important point. Prabhupada again quotes this verse. As I said, you know, this is the main thread of the chapter. What is, as stated by Prahlad Maharaj at the beginning of this chapter, Kumar Acharit Pragya. The Pragya means one who is experienced and who can distinguish right from the wrong. Here if you see in this word, the same word Pragya is referred to as Kushala. Tato yatet Kushala, a person who is intelligent. The same thing. text 6. Pumso varsha shatam he ayus tadam he tadartham chajitatmanah nishfalam yad asauratryam shete andham prapitastamah.
Every human being has a maximum duration of life of 100 years. But for one who cannot control his senses, half of those years are completely lost because at night he sleeps 12 hours, being covered by ignorance. Therefore, such a person has a lifetime of only 50 years.
Okay, so now Prahlad Maharaj gives a from economic perspective also. It's very important to practice Bhaga Dharma from early childhood. Right? So he gives the life's balance sheet. Look here. You know, out of 100, 50 are gone in sleep only, a person who is, you know, ajitatmana. So life's balance sheet is presented to support his very first proposal, Kumar Acharit Pragyo. Look at the balance sheet presented by Prahlad Maharaj. Okay? So 50 years will just go in sleep itself, Prahlad Maharaj says. Okay. So then Prabhupada says in the purport, last few lines, eating, sleeping, sex life and fear are the four bodily necessities. But to utilize the full duration of life, a person desiring to advance in spiritual consciousness must reduce these activities. Again, very balancing way Prabhupada says. Okay. These activities on the bodily platform must be reduced as less as possible, as minimum as possible. Text 7. Mukdasya balya kaishore kridato yati vimshatihi jarya grasta dehasya yate kalpasya vimshatihi.
In the tender age of childhood, when everyone is bewildered, one passes 10 years. Similarly, in boyhood, engaged in sporting and playing, one passes another 10 years. In this way, 20 years are wasted. Similarly, in old age, when one is an invalid, unable to perform even material activities, one passes another 20 years wastefully.
So Prahlad Maharaj says, look, 50 years gone in sleep, right? And 20 years of the childhood in Krida, in playing and sporting, and last 20 years, Jarya Agrast Dehasya, you know, when person become invalid, right? In coughing and collecting the mucus and dealing with the, you know, 20 years will be, you know, person will just be, you know, struggling with his own body, right? So 40 years, another 40 years gone. But subtracting, because certain things have been counted common, you know, in those 20 or so years he has slept half the time, right? So therefore 70 years are lost. You know, not 90, 70 years are lost, Prabhupada says. Just 70 out of 100 years are gone. Because in 2020, in the beginning end, we counted twice the sleep. So sleep 10 and 10, we counted twice. So 50 years gone in sleep, but we have to take out the 10 from both early and from the old age and from the childhood. 20 years gone there. So then total 70 years are gone, right? You understood 70 years how? Simple. So 70 years are gone, Prahlad Maharaj is saying. Life balance sheet is being presented for most of the population. Right? So 70 years have gone uselessly, absolutely, right? There is no no good use in that. Now text 8. Durapurena kamena mohena chabaliyasa sesham graheshu saktasya pramattasya payatihi.
And senses are uncontrolled, becomes increasingly attached to family life because of instable lusty desire and very strong illusion. In such a madman's life, the remaining years are also wasted because even during those years he cannot engage himself in devotional service.
Okay, so he's saying because now the remaining 30 years also they are gone in the illusory family attachments, right? So first 20 years are gone in Krida and another Krida and whatever study classes, next 30 years are gone in the kaam, trying to fulfill illusory desires. And the last 20 years, anyway, nothing can be done, you know. Okay? So like that. So in this way, Prahlad Maharaj says, the entire lifetime, all the 100 years are wasted fruitlessly. Okay? Mentioned like that. And Prabhupada says, thus the entire duration of life of even 100 years is wasted and misused. And at the time of death, one transmigrates to another body. This is the last 5-6 lines. At the end of 100 years, one who has not acted as a human being in a life of tapasya, austerity and penance, he must certainly be embodied again in a body like that of cats, dogs and hogs. Therefore, this life of lusty desires and sense gratification is extremely risky. Right? So, basically, the point is that if a person doesn't practice Bhaga Dharma from early age, it will become more risky and risky as the time progresses. Right? One may not be able to actually achieve the desired goal. Text 9. Kograheshu pumansaktam atmanam ajitendriyah sneha pashair dhidhair baddham utsaheda vimochitum.
What person to attach to household life due to being unable to control his senses can liberate himself. An attached householder is bound very strongly by ropes of affection for his family, wife, children and other relatives.
So, ko graheshu pumansaktam atmana majitindriha. The person who has never practiced sense control, right, and who has, atmana majitindriha, who has never practiced sense control, how will he ever be able to give up these bonds of affection which are very strong? So if, therefore he is saying, Prahlad Maharaj, as it will be revealed, that once, if there is no early training of practicing sense control, then a householder, even if in the householder life he comes to know that he has to practice, you know, it will be extremely difficult. Ko graheshu puman saktam. The sneha pashar jadam baddham. This sneha pash is very strong. It's not easy to break. It's extremely difficult. Utsahet vimochitam. Who can actually, who will be able to break from, free from this? Right? So therefore, early training is required. Even if a person enters a household life, if he has this training, by the dint of this training, one day he'll be able to make himself free again. Without this training, actually he'll be simply lost. Right? So therefore, even if you have to enter household life, any person, you should know that this training will be extremely useful. You know, the training of practicing sense control. Right? That this will actually come to help him. Right? So, Prabhupada writes, again Prabhupada reminds, Prahlad Maharaj's first proposal was Kumar Acharit Pragyo. That is his first proposal. And his everything else now he is saying is to support that proposal. Right? We are discussing that Prahlad Maharaj is developing this theme that is extremely important to practice Bhagavad Dharma from early age. Right? Okay, so now Prabhupada says, here Prabhupada just again defines Bhagavad Dharma in the fifth line of the purport, first paragraph. Dharman Bhagavata means religious principle of reviving our relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is Bhagavad Dharma. Okay, so from, in the second paragraph, Prabhupada says in the third line, from the very beginning, a brahmachari is trained to sacrifice everything for the benefit of Guru. A brahmachari is advised to go begging alms door to door, addressing all women as mother. So the point is, in from the very beginning, training is given in sacrifice and sense control, two important things. So if from the very beginning, if there is a training in sacrificing and in sense control, then a person will not degrade. And a person will eventually be able to become free from his illusory attachment and proceed towards the ultimate goal of life. Okay? A trained grihastha can gradually give up household life and go to the forest to become increasingly enlightened in spiritual life. In the middle of the second paragraph, Prabhupada says. A trained grihastha. So this training, early training is very important. A trained grihastha can gradually give up household life and go to the forest to become increasingly enlightened in spiritual life. Again, Prabhupada says, look, it's quite surprising. These are 5-year-old children. And Prahlad Maharaj is warning them about the attachment of the household life. You know, they are just small kids, 5-year-old. Prahlad Maharaj is cautioning them attachment that will accrue 20 years down the line. You know, that will come. At the present, their parents should be given this lecture actually, if you speak. You know? But Prahlad Maharaj is warning them now itself. It's quite amazing. You know, these children have no idea of attachment to family life in one sense. Right? But Prahlad Maharaj is preaching very strongly to them, and they are able to understand, right? By his preaching, they are getting some understanding, right? So this all will stay with them, you know, and help them like that. So if you see from the standard of Prabhupada says, Prahlad Maharaj in this very proposal, Prahlad Maharaj's first proposal is Kumaram Acharet Pragyo, right? And then his advice, Prabhupada says, his first advice is to give up household life. You know, that means give up household life means give up all attachments, you know. One has to give up attachments for household life. And Prahlad Maharaj has actually pointed out the fallacies of household life, you know. Bhaktivinoda Thakur also says, Yadi te hari pada saroj sudha rasapana param hridayam satatam parihritya griham kalibhavamayam pajagodrumakanana kunjavidhum. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Yadi te hari pada saroj sudha rasapana param hridayam satatam. If you always want to relish the mellows of devotional service at the lotus feet of Lord Hari, first thing you have to do is parihritya griham. Give up the household life. Right? This is most entangling. So Prahlad Maharaj, now only at the age of 5 years, is cautioning them. Don't become entangled in the household life. Right? Take this Bhagavad Dharma very seriously. Even if you become a householder, by the dint of this training, you will not be entangled. Even if you have to take up household life. Right? So therefore, this attachments of household life are to be given up. Parihritya griham, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, the very first verse, first stanza, says this, family attachment is a great stumbling block. Like that. So Prabhupada says in the second paragraph, the third paragraph, to return home back to Godhead, one must be completely free from material attachment. Therefore, bhakti yoga means vairagya vidya, the art that can help one develop a distaste for material enjoyment. Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojitaha Janayati Ashu Vairagyam Jnanam Cha Yadahetukam. Bhakti Yoga means Vairagya Vidya, Prabhupada says. So, just one more thing. How often we see, you know, this Vairagya and Jnana, right, will develop by Bhakti itself. But one should know that we are talking of now the training, right? Prahlad Maharaj is saying, one should be trained from the beginning in Bhagavad Dharma, the training. So this bhakti training has element of jnana and vairagya in it. Okay? The training of bhakti, they have the element of jnana and vairagya. But this is not the jnana and vairagya of the jnanis and the those who falsely renounce the world. Right? This is not that jnana and vairagya. This is a different, that jnana and vairagya is a shushk jnana, dry jnana, you know, without the understanding of transcendental knowledge of Krishna and other things. That jnana is different. And that vairagya is also different. That vairagya is detachment from everything material. But the vairagya of the, within the bhakti is detachment from anything that doesn't foster Krishna consciousness. So they both are different. So when he says this jnana and vairagya, this is here in jnana and vairagya in this verse refers to the transcendental knowledge, right? And vairagya refers to detachment from anything and everything that doesn't foster Krishna consciousness. But these two things will also develop by bhakti, but the process of training of the bhakti has the element of this jnana and vairagya in it. So when you say it will also develop, means this jnana and vairagya will actually, they will fix, as we fix ourselves in bhakti, this jnana and vairagya will fix themselves in our heart automatically. You don't have to do any extra endeavor like that of jnanis and renunciants. You know, extra austerities or extra studying. You remain fixed, you try to fix yourself in bhakti, which has the element of jnana vairagya in it inherently. So when you become fixed in bhakti, jnana and vairagya become fixed in you. Got the point? So you do not have to put any extra endeavor like those of going and performing extra austerities and studying great analytical scriptures, that what is spirit, what is matter, neti neti, and all that, you know. And to put that also. But inherently bhakti training has gyan and vairagya in it, it actually, the elements of transcendental gyan and vairagya in it included. So therefore nothing outside of bhakti is to be performed. Fine, so this point is clear. Yes. Sorry?
Vairagya, which actually becomes impediment for practice of devotional service or its enhancement.
Some vairagya which becomes the impediment for practice of devotional
knowledge
service.
Knowledge aspect is clear that some...
Yes, actually you renounce the association of devotees, considering that any association is material, right? You become and the things which can be used in Krishna service, if someone says I will not, you know, touch money at all, you know, there are some babas, you know, or anything, you know, without seeing its if you think the things of this material world as separate from Krishna and doesn't utilize them, that vairagya doesn't enhance your Krishna consciousness. So many examples can be given, right? So many examples can be given. Some people even try to say, you know, studying the scriptures and all that, you know, is actually is for the jnanis, you know. Vairagya and jnanis. No, bhagavatam study is not for the jnanis. It's a part of the bhakti. There are jnana and vairagya are also part of the bhakti training. It has the element of jnana and vairagya, but so therefore one should not reject them. What is the part of it? But one should not be very eager to accept the shushk jnana and vairagya at the same time, right? The jnanis neti neti things, and renouncing the things without seeing its connection with Krishna, right? Someone may think even that association of devotee is also material, I will renounce it, then he will not benefit at all, right? Rather, he will harm himself. So there can be so many other examples like that. Okay, so take a break and we'll continue after 10 minutes. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Text 10, right? Konvarth Tishnam Srijet Pranebhyo Apijaipsitaha Yam Krinate Ashubhi Pestes Taskara Sevako Vanek.
Money is so dear that one conceives of money as being sweeter than honey. Therefore, who can give up the desire to unaccountable money, especially in a household life? Thieves, professional servant, soldier, and merchant try to acquire money by risking their very dear lives.
Right. So Prahlad Maharaj is saying, without this training in Bhagavad Dharma, a person who is Ajitendriya Atmana, how will he ever give up Artha Trishna? Ko anva Artha Trishna Visrijeta? The desire to, desire for economic development, desire to earn money is actually very strong. Who can give it up if there is no training of what? Sacrifice and sense control. Prabhupada has used these two terms. We studied in one purport. If there is no training, early training in sacrifice and sense control, no one can give up the desire to earn money, which is sweeter than honey, Prabhupada puts. Right? It is so dear, desire to earn money is so strong, that a person takes the risk of his life to earn money. And three examples are given. Right? Taskara sevako vanik. Right? Taskara means smugglers or thieves, whatever, you know. Their life may go, they may be caught. And sevako, Prabhupada says, those who take up the profession of soldiers, you know, there are certain services which involve the life risk. Right? There are many people who join military. Not everyone, very few will join, as a selfless. 99.9% will join military to earn money, There are good facilities and there is a good money which they can earn. But there is their life. Right, so sevako and vanik merchants sometime also travel in the sea, right, etc. And they also risk their life. And Prabhupada says some of them actually dive deep in the within the sea to find valuable jewels. They can make money. So many merchants also risk their life to make money. Right, so we know there are many professions. People undertake great amount of risk to earn money. Yeah, so these three professions have been pointed out. Therefore, one will not be able to give up the desire for earning money without this early training. Like that. And Prabhupada mentioned another important point in the purport. Prabhupada says, this is toward the this is the first paragraph. It's a long. It is only one paragraph in the purport. So it's the middle of the paragraph, or probably a tenth line or so. Formally, of course, the members of the higher castes, the Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, and Vaishyas, were trained in the Gurukul to adhere to a life of renunciation and sense control. Right? Sacrifice and sense control. In the two points are again coming. by practicing brahmacharya and mystic yoga, they then were allowed to enter household life. There have consequently been many instances where great kings and emperors have given up household life. Although they were extremely opulent and were of the masters of the kingdom, they could give up all their possessions because they were trained early as brahmacharis. So training, early training gives a person confidence to renounce later. Otherwise it's not possible. Prabhupada says all the kings could give, they were masters of the kingdom, you know. They could renounce, like Bharat Maharaj renounced Jaho Yujayava Malavat. Right, like a one person renounces the stool, you know, becomes completely detached. They renounce their entire kingdom because of this early training. This early training is so important. This early training gives a person confidence to renounce later. It's an important thing. Right? So therefore, let's recite the verse of Prahlad Maharaj. What is the main theme of this chapter? Kaumaracharet pragyo dharman bhagavatamiha vammanusham janma tadapyadhruvam arthadam. Prabhupada quotes that in the Prabhupada quotes that verse again in the purport. कथम प्रियाया अनुकंपिताया संगम रहस्यम रुचिरम शमंत्रान सुरसुतस्नेहसिता शिशूनां कलक्षरानामनुरक्तचित्तः पुत्रान् स्मरंस्ता दुहित्रहृदय भ्रातृन् सुसस्रवपितरो च दीनो गृहान् मनुज्ञोरुपरिच्छदांश्च मृत्तिश्च कुल्या पशुभृत्यवर्गान् तजेत कोशस्कृदेहमाना कर्माणि लोभाद वितृप्त कामा. औपस्थ्य जहवं बहुमन्यमाना कथं विरज्येत दुरंत मोहा.
How can a person who is most affectionate to his family, the core of his heart being always filled with their pictures, give up their association? Specifically, a wife is always very kind and sympathetic and always pleases her husband in a solitary place. Who could give up association of such a dear and affectionate wife? Small children talk in broken language, very pleasing to hear, and their affectionate father always thinks of their sweet words. How could he give up their association? One's elderly parents and one's sons and daughters are also very dear. A daughter is specially dear to her father, and while living at her husband's house, she is always in his mind. Who could give up that association? Aside from this, in household affairs, there are many decorated items of household furniture, and there are also animals and servants. Who could give up such comforts? The attached householder is like a silkworm which weaves a cocoon in which it becomes imprisoned, unable to get out, simply for the satisfaction of two important senses, the genitals and the tongue. One is bound by material conditions. How can one escape?
Okay, so Prahlad Maharaj has, it's amazing, you know, at the age of 5, he has depicted the family attachments, right? Saying the wife gives very confidential advice to the husband, you know, how he should act and all that, you know, how he should deal in the material world. Ruchiram sa mantran, she gives various kind of, she like acts like a well-wisher, advisor, right? And she pleases the husband by speaking sweetly, etc. Then he is saying, Prahlad Maharaj is saying, Kalaksharanam, Anurakta Chitta. And the children, you know, when they speak in broken language, the father heart is over flooding, you know. How will father ever give up that attachment? You know, Prahlad Maharaj is actually very, very solid, very graphical description, you know, very amazing. And then he's saying, then there are other family members, you know, whom one wants to please, especially the daughter is always in the mind of the father, when even if she after marriage, you know. That's amazing, Prahlad Maharaj, you know. And so therefore, again, so the whole thing is Prahlad Maharaj saying, even if someone says, you know, okay, you know, I will be able to renounce the desire to earn money. He said, but what about this? You know, when a person is in household life, who can, you know, renounce the attachment for a wife? You always is very pleasing. Who can renounce the attachment for one's children and daughter? You know, always in the mind, especially the daughter for the father and the son for the mother. Right? So, in this way, said actually, then Prahlad Maharaj gave the example of a silkworm. He's caught up in all the network created by him. He just can't. How can? Katham virajyet duranta moha. Said these illusions, which a person gets caught in, created by his own self, they are duranta moha. Duranta means insurmountable for him. Katham virajyet. If you don't have this early training, komar acharit pragyo, and you enter household life, and you are caught up in this way, katham vrajyet, there is no question, you know, how will you renounce? Duranta moha, these insurmountable illusions, right, which he has very graphically predicted. Right? I know there is recently one friend of mine, he called me and he said, you know, he settled in the West. And, you know, he's not happy there. But he's saying, but, you know, I have already purchased a house and a few loans over here. I was thinking to come back, but, you know, this house is there, the loan is there. Then the children are now a little bit grown up. They are in 7th, 8th standard. They said, we don't want to go to India at all, you know. And the wife also says, you know, India is either too hot or, you know, too polluted, you know, whatever. So he said, you know, I am not happy, but, and then I have invested in some places in the country, and the children have the studies, and the wife, and there is a loan, and there is a job, etc. He said, what do I do, you know? You know, I was just remembering how a person gets so much caught up, he doesn't see any way to come out. Can't figure out, you know, even if a person suffers, as Prahlad Maharaj would say, actually a person suffers in this illusion, but he is totally caught up, duranta moha, like within the person, when there is within the sea, you can't see the land, where to go, it's everywhere, the illusion is insurmountable, you don't see any way out of it, you can't conceive, it's a fact actually, right, when a person is caught up in all such a big network, he suffers and dies. He doesn't get any clue how to get out of it. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj is saying, Komar acharit pragyo, you have to be trained in sacrifice and sense control. Then you will know, later even if you are caught up, you will have a clue how to come out of it. Otherwise, there is no clue. No? Right? So therefore, this training is so important. It's the main thread of the chapter. Okay, so somehow then Prabhupada also points out another important thing. You know, then a person may say, you know, that means the person who has missed early training, now he has no hope. What is his hope? His hope is only if someone has to pick him up now, actually. You know, therefore, Prabhupada says, actually, then the spiritual master comes and he throws a rope of his mercy and picks him up. Somehow, but he has to do the endeavor of catching it. Right? Still, a person has a hope, But if there is early training, then the advancement can be very fast. Right? Otherwise, still, Prabhupada says there is hope of a spiritual master coming and picking up. That Prabhupada points out in the purport. Right? Prabhupada says in the middle of the paragraph, or later in the second half of the paragraph, a man becomes increasingly entangled in household affairs, so much so that leaving them becomes almost impossible. Right? As we just described. Thus the household becomes graha andhakupam, a dark well in which the man has fallen. For such a man to get out is extremely difficult unless he is helped by a strong person, the spiritual master, who helps a fallen person with a strong rope of spiritual instructions. Right? A fallen person should take advancement of this rope, should take advantage of this rope, and then the spiritual master or the Supreme Personality of Godhead will take him out of the dark well. Right? But if a person has early training, for him there is the hope of coming out of it, accepting the rope. You know, he will make much faster spiritual advancement if he has early training. Right? Other person otherwise also may be saved, but his journey will be slow. Right? You know, for Prahlad Maharaj is convincing them that from the very beginning you should take up to early age you should practice Bhagavad Dharma. 14. कुटुंबपोषायवियन्निजायुर् नाबुध्यते अर्थं विहितं प्रमत्ता सर्वत्र तापात्रय दुःखितात्मा निर्विद्यते नास कुटुंभरामा.
His valuable life for maintaining of his family. He also fails to understand that the purpose of human life, a life suitable for self, for realization of the absolute truth, is being imperceptibly spoiled. However, he is very cleverly attentive to seeing that not a single farthing is lost by mismanagement. Thus, although an attached person in material existence always suffers from threefold miseries, he does not develop a distaste for the way of material existence.
Okay, so Prahlad Maharaj is saying, Kutumb Poshaya, in the maintenance of family, Vyan Nijayur, he cannot see that how his life is imperceptibly, means he can't perceive, can't see, that he's losing his life, he's coming close to death. Right? Na Buddhate, he's unable to understand. Ritam artham vihatam, that the purpose of the life is being lost. Right? And such is the madness, pramatta. And although he suffers sarvatra tapa traya dukkhitatma, although he suffers, but still he doesn't become disgusted, nirvidyate. He still doesn't become disgusted with material family life. Why? Because so kutumbharama. He's somehow, you know, attached to those flimsy enjoyments. He doesn't know anything beyond that. So kutumbharama. And you can compare this word with atmarama. Right? So therefore, again, Prahlad Maharaj is saying, actually without this early training in Bhagavad Dharma, an attached person will never become disgusted with material life, although it is filled with miseries. He will remain so kutumbharama. He will remain like a worm in the stool. He doesn't want to come out of it. Right? That's the abominable condition. He will not be able to understand his own abominable condition. Right? Therefore, the training from the beginning is required like that. So, Prabhupada says, although there are many experts in business, many experts, MBA finance people, but they can't calculate their own loss. They don't see how their life is being wasted. Life is most valuable. ಆಯುಷಾಶನ ಏಪೋಪಿ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾತ್ ಕೋಟ್ಸ್ ಚರಕ್ಯ ಪಂಡಿತ್ ನಾ ಲಭ್ಯತೆ ಸ್ವರ್ಣ ಕೋಟಿ ಬಿ ಅ ಹ್ಯೂಮನ್ ಫಾರ್ಮ್ ಆಫ್ ಲೈಫ್ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ಅ ಗ್ರೇಟ್ ವ್ಯಾಲ್ಯೂ ವಿಚ್ ಮೆನಿ ಬಿಗ್ ಬಿಗ್ ಫೈನಾನ್ಷಿಯಲ್ ಪೀಪಲ್ ದೇ ಡೋಂಟ್ ರಿಯಲೈಸ್ ದಟ್ ದೇರ್ ಓನ್ ಲಾಸಸ್ ಯು ನೋ ದೇ ಕೀಪ್ ಕ್ಯಾಲ್ಕುಲೇಟಿಂಗ್ ಎವ್ರಿ ಒನ್ ಎಲ್ಸ್ ಪ್ರಾಫಿಟ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಗೇನ್ ಯು ನೋ ಲಾಸ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಗೇನ್ ಬಟ್ ದೇ ಅನೇಬಲ್ ಟು ಸಿ ದೇರ್ ಓನ್ ಲಾಸ್ ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ದೇರ್ ಇಸ್ ನೋ ಟ್ರೈನಿಂಗ್ ಲೈಕ್ ದ್ಯಾಟ್ 15 ವಿತ್ತೇಷು ನಿತ್ಯಾಭಿನಿವಿಷ್ಟಚೇತ ವಿದ್ವಾಂಸ ದೋಷಂ ಪರ ವಿತ್ತಹರ್ತುಃ ಪ್ರತ್ಯೇಹವಾಥ ಪ್ಯಜಿತೇಂದ್ರಿಯಸ್ತ ಅಶಾಂತ ಕಾಮೋ ಹರತೆ ಕುಟುಂಬೀ.
If a person too attached to the duties of family maintenance is unable to control his senses, the core of his heart is immersed in how to accumulate money. Although he knows that one who takes the wealth of others will be punished by the law of government and by the laws of Yamraj after death, he continues cheating others to acquire money.
Right. So again, Parad Maharaj. Prahlad Maharaj points out that even though a person has a knowledge that he will be punished, but still he vidvamsha dosham, he knows the faults in acquiring money with all wrong methods, right? By cheating methods and all that. And he knows that he will be punished, but still he is unable to give up sinful activities, right? So, without this early training, a person will not be able to give up the sinful activities, even though he knows the faults in that. Prabhupada says, even first of all, he will be punished in this life or the next. Even if he doesn't believe in the next life, in this life he will be punished by the laws of government. You know, any cheater or fraud will be subject to punishment. And next life will be punished anyway. But he is unable to refrain from committing sinful activities because there is no training in sacrifice and sense control. Right?
Vidvana pittham danuja kutumbam ಪುಷ್ಣನ್ ಸಲೋಕಾಯನ ಕಲ್ಪತೆ ವೈ ಯಸ್ವೀಯ ಪಾರಕ್ಯ ವಿಭಿನ್ನ ಭಾವಸ್ ತಮಾ ಪ್ರಪದ್ಯೇತ ಯಥಾ ವಿಮೂಢಃ.
ಓ ಮೈ ಫ್ರೆಂಡ್ಸ್, ಸನ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಡೆಮನ್ಸ್, ಇನ್ ದಿಸ್ ಮೆಟೀರಿಯಲ್ ವರ್ಲ್ಡ್ ಈವನ್ ದೋಸ್ ಹೂ ಆರ್ ಅಪರೆಂಟ್ಲಿ ಅಡ್ವಾನ್ಸ್ಡ್ ಇನ್ ಎಜುಕೇಷನ್ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ದ ಪ್ರೊಪೆನ್ಸಿಟಿ ಟು ಕನ್ಸಿಡರ್ this is mine and that is for others. Thus they are always engaged in providing the necessities of life to their families in a limited conception of family life, just like uneducated cats and dogs. They are unable to take to spiritual knowledge. Instead, they are bewildered and overcome by ignorance.
Okay, so Prahlad Maharaj is saying that even the people who are very so the learned scholars in the estimation of the people, even those who know the scriptures, you know, they have studied the scriptures themselves, etc. But if they are lacking proper training in Bhagavad Dharma, you know, they may have studied the scripture, they may be very knowledgeable, they may be learned scholars in the estimation, but they can't give up this so and para conception. This is mine, this is yours. Right? Yah swiya parakya vibhinna bhavas. Right? They are unable to give it up, that. And thus they remain entangled in the limited conception of family life, right? I and mine, right? and they are able to take up to the spiritual knowledge. So Prabhupada says in human society there are attempts to educate the human beings, but for animal society there is no such system, nor are animals able to be educated. Therefore animals and unintelligent men are called vimhuda, or ignorant, bewildered, whereas an educated person is called vidwan. The real Vidwan is one who tries to understand his own position within this material world. Right? Others are only so-called learned people, so-called Vidwan. Right? So most of the people in this world are Vimudhas. Right? Mudha means a fool. And Chaitanya Charan Prabhu was saying, Vimudha means an empowered fool. You know, he's empowered with the modern education. So he has an extra edge over other fools, right? He will degrade himself more than the ordinary fools, right? Like that. So he's an empowered fool, Vimudha. So, but a real Vidwan, Prabhupada says, is a person like Sanatan Goswami, who asks, Ke ami kene amaye jare taputrai, iha nahi jani ke mana hit hai. Prabhupada quotes the translation of that. Who am I? What is the goal of my life? Like that. So even the so-called education and even the so-called scriptural education, you know, which is under the three modes, will not help a person without the training, early training in the Bhagavad Dharma. That's the most important point. 17 and 18. Yato nakaschid kvacha kutra chitva Dina samatma namalam samartha Vimochitum kamadisham vihara Kridam rigoyan nigado visarga Tato vidurat parihritya detya Neteshu sangam vishayatma keshu Upeta Narayanamadi Devam Samukta Sangair Ishitopavargaha.
My dear friends, O sons of the demons, it is certain that no one bereft of knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead has been able to liberate himself from material bondage at any time or in any country. Rather, those bereft of knowledge of the Lord are bound by material laws. They are factually addicted to sense gratification and their target is women. Indeed, they are actually playthings in the hands of attractive women. Victimized by such a conception of life, they become surrounded by children, grandchildren and great-great-grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and thus they are shackled to material bondage. Those who are very much addicted to this conception of life are called demons. Therefore, although you are sons of demons, keep aloof from such persons and take shelter of Supreme Personality of Godhead Narayan, the origin of all demigods. Because the ultimate goal for devotees of Narayan is liberation from the bondage of material existence.
Okay, so Prahlad Maharaj is saying, a person who has no knowledge, right, he will not be able, who doesn't have the knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he will not be able to free himself from the material bondage. Right? And he will remain Krida mrigo yan nigado visarga. He will remain a plaything in the hands of a woman. Right? Therefore, tato, right? Prahlad Maharaj is now coming to. Now he will, after describing all the fallacies, now from this verse, tato, therefore, how you should execute Bhagavad Dharma, right? Or how it is very easy to execute, he starts concluding his talk from here. Toto vidurat parihritya daitya daityeshu. He said, oh my dear sons of the demons, you give up this demonic nature. From a distance, you know. Keep it at a distance. Right? You should, daityeshu sangam, don't associate with all these people who have this. You are daityas, but don't associate with the other people who have the same nature. Remain far away from them. Right? And upeta narayanam adidevam samukta sangair ishitopavarga. So he's saying, let's approach Lord Narayan, adidevam, the original supreme Lord. Right? So let's proceed on the path of liberation, samukta sangair ishitopavarga. Let's proceed on the path of liberation, chanting, dancing, joking, laughing and feasting. Right? Like that. So Prahlad Maharaj basically saying, you don't become playthings in the hands of a woman, right? Rather, we will playfully proceed on the path of liberation, right? Therefore, we will keep dancing, chanting, joking, feasting, etc., and we will go towards the Supreme Lord, like that. Well, Prabhupada says, Prabhupada says, Prahlad Maharaj has maintained the philosophical point of view that one should give up the dark well of family life and go to the forest to take shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And this is the viewpoint Prahlad Maharaj is presenting. So Prahlad has maintained this viewpoint. And one should not get entangled in the family life and actually go to the forest to take shelter of that. And Prabhupada quotes, Hitvatma patam grahanda kupam vanam gato yadharima shriyeta. Again, Prabhupada says in the fifth line, in the history of human society, no one at any time or any place has been liberated because of too much affection and attachment for family. Text 19. Nahi achyutam prinayato chutam prinayato bhuvayaso suratmajah atmavat sarvabhutanam siddhatvad iha sarvatah.
My dear sons of demons, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan, is the original Supersoul, the father of all living entities. Consequently, there are no impediments to pleasing him or worshipping him under any conditions, whether one be a child or an old man. The relationship between the living entities and the Supreme Personality of Godhead is always a fact, and therefore, there is no difficulty in pleasing the Lord.
Okay, so now now Prahlad Maharaj said, Toto, therefore, my instruction to you is remain far from all these demons, right? Oh, my dear sons of the demons, remain far from all the demons, right? And just approach Lord Narayan, right? Upeta Narayana Madhi Deva. But children say, we are just small children, you know. How do we approach Lord Narayan, right? Prahlad Maharaj says, look, the easiest thing to do is to approach Lord Narayan. That's the most easiest thing. Doesn't require any big, you know, undertakings. It's not a very major difficult project or a, you know, major undertaking. It's the most easiest task in the entire creation. You know, the simplest thing, because he is, you remember, he is most closest person, you know. know, therefore to approach him should be the easiest thing, you know. He stays most closer than anyone else, right? Just next door, you know, right? Or in your own house, right? In one sense. So he is the closest. Atmavat sarva bhutanam. Right? So Prahlad Maharaj already mentioned the three words, Priya Atmeshvara Suhrit. He is closest, he is very dear, and he is well-wisher. And where is the difficulty to approach him? He is the most easily approachable person, Prahlad Maharaj wants to say. Right? So bhakti is, according to Prahlad Maharaj, bhakti is the most easiest of all things. Bhakti is the most easy of all things. Right? Actually, there's a fact. However, we find it difficult because we have to deal with our material tendencies. Bhakti is the most easiest, but when we have to fight with our own material tendencies, there the struggle becomes difficult. Right? The difficulty is created by our conditionings and not by the process of bhakti. The struggle which we face, the struggle is not due to the process of bhakti actually. Bhakti is the most easiest of all things. But our struggle is with the impediment that we have only accumulated or created. So therefore, that's the struggle. But as far as bhakti is concerned, it's the most easiest of all things, Prahlad Maharaj says. It doesn't require, you know, any major endeavor. Or even minor endeavor, right? So Prabhupada describes that in the purport. Right? Prabhupada says, as there is no difficulty in establishing the intimate relationship between a father and son, there is no difficulty in establishing the natural intimate relationship between Narayan and the living entities. And Prabhupada gives the example of Ajamil. He said, look, Ajamil separated himself from the Lord, right, and committed sinful activities, but later, by chanting the name of Lord Narayan, he established the relation. Again, right? Therefore, Prabhupada says, pleasing Narayan does not require as much endeavor as pleasing one's family, community, and nation. Right? In order to please family or community or nation, there is a lot of endeavor required, and they will not be pleased for sure. But in pleasing Narayan, a very less endeavor is required, but Lord Narayan will be pleased for sure. Again, Prabhupada says, the end of the first paragraph, pleasing Narayan, however, is not at all difficult. It is very easy. A slight endeavor, Prabhupada continues in the second paragraph, a slight endeavor in this direction will make the attempt successful. Right. Therefore, the point is that devotees, they should never become dejected. They should always be greatly hopeful. Right? Prahlad Maharaj giving a lot of hope to the devotees. Right? That Lord Narayan is very easy to be pleased, very easy to be approached. Right. So therefore, you should approach him. Right? Like that. Okay, Guru text 20 to 23, four verses together. Paravareshu bhuteshu brahmanta sthavaradishu bhautikeshu vikareshu bhuteshu atha mahatsucha guneshu guna sammecha gunavati kare tatha ek eva parohe atma bhagavan ishvaro vaya pratyagatma sarupena drishya rupena cha svayam vyapya vyapaka nirdeshyo निर्देशो अविकल्पितः
కేవలానుభవానంద స్వరూపా పరమేశ్వర మాయాంతర్హితైశ్వర్య ఈయతే గుణసర్గయా.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supreme Controller, who is infallible and indefatigable, is present in different forms of life, from the inert living beings, sthavara, such as the plants, to Brahma, the foremost created living being. He is also present in the varieties of material creations and in the material elements, the total material energy and the modes of material nature, as well as the unmanifested material nature and the false ego. Although he is one, he is present everywhere, and he is also the transcendental super soul, the cause of all causes, who is present as the observer in the course of the hearts of all living entities. He is indicated as that which is pervaded and as the all-pervading super soul. But actually he cannot be indicated. He is changeless and undivided. He is simply perceived as the Supreme Satchidananda, eternity, knowledge and bliss. Being covered by the curtain of the external energy, to the atheist, he appears non-existent.
Okay, so the Prahlad Maharaj has explained that worshipping Krishna Narayan is not at all difficult because he is there Atmavat Sarva Bhutanam. He is there as a super soul within everyone's heart. He is most close, he is most dear, right? And he is the everyone's well-wisher. Now Prahlad Maharaj goes further to tell them, look, the Lord is not simply within the heart, he is actually everywhere. Right? To see Lord everywhere is the actually a higher realization. That therefore as we know Uttam Adhikari can see Sarva Bhuteshu Yah Pashyet Bhagavad Bhavam Atmana. Right? The 11th canto verse is Uttam Adhikari is one who can see the presence of the Lord in each and every aspect of this creation. Sarva Bhuteshu, within every living entity, in every atom, yah pashyet bhagavad bhavan atmana bhutani bhagavatya atmanne esh bhagavat uttama. Right? He sees the Lord's presence and everything present within the Lord also. Lord is present everywhere and everything is present within the Lord. So that person is bhagavat uttama. So Prahlad Maharaj, after instructing them, right, now he is giving them the knowledge which will make them bhagat uttamas, you know. So, you know, Prahlad Maharaj preaching is in one lecture, you know, from the demons he will make them mahabhagatas if they accept his teaching, you know. So, and they all actually perform sankirtan, you know. So therefore, now Prahlad Maharaj is giving them higher understanding, right, that not only the Lord is to be served within the heart, but one should respect his presence everywhere, right? And one should not offend any living entity. One has to respect him at every place, right? So the verse 20 and 21 shows how the Lord is present everywhere. Paravareshu bhuteshu, right? He is present in paravareshu bhuteshu, in the excellent and the inferior jivas, right? From Lord Brahma to the plants also, right? That is the Brahmant Sthavaradishu, right? Paravareshu Bhuteshu, in all the forms, that is the higher and lower example, from Brahma to the trees, down to the trees, right? The Lord is present. Then the Lord is there in the non-living objects, even in the non-living objects, bhautikeshu vikareshu, such as the pots. And the Lord is also present in all the gross five elements, bhuteshu atma mahasucha, and the Lord is present in Pradhan, Guna Samme, and in transformations such as Mahatattva, Gunvati Kare. So therefore, Prahlad Maharaj points out the presence of the Lord in each and every aspect of the creation. Okay. And then Prahlad Maharaj says in the next two verses, verses 22 to 23, that as Paramatma he is all pervading, and as the visible universe he is all pervaded. Both the things, right? He is Vyapya and Vyapak both. He is all pervading, and everything is within him also. He is being pervaded also. Okay? So like that. He is specified as the pervader and pervaded, Vyapya Vyapak, but actually he cannot be specified. He is Nirdeshyo and still Anirdeshyo. Both words have been used, if you see. Right, the third verse here, verse 22nd, says Vyapya Vyapak Nirdeshyo Hi Anirdeshyo. Right, he is specified in this way, but still is not specified. So all these things apparent exist when we understand the energy and the energetic. Right.
अमी ये जगते वसी जगत आमाते नामी जगते वसी नाम जगते
लॉर्ड सेज अमी ये जगते वसी जगत आमाते आई एम देयर विद इन द यूनिवर्स द यूनिवर्स इज विद इन मी नामी जगते वसी आई एम नॉट देयर विद इन द यूनिवर्स नॉट द यूनिवर्स इज विद इन मी इन द फर्स्ट पैराग्राफ ही जस्ट ऐड द ना टू बोथ इन सेकंड लाइन दिस इज अ सो देयरफॉर दिस ऑल दिस कॉन्ट्रडिक्शन प्रूव्स आर रिजॉल्व्ड व्हेन वी अंडरस्टैंड that he is energy and energetic, right? So Lord is pervading this whole universe by his energy, everything exists within him, right? But still as his personal, he is there in his own abode, he is not, right, all pervading, and in his personality, not the whole universe is not existing within him, in his sarupa, but is existing in his expansion of his form, like that. So therefore all these concepts are being explained by Prahlad Maharaj, how the Lord is all pervading by his various energies like that, right? So then again Prahlad Maharaj explains that though the Lord is without differentiation, right, which is indicated by the word avikalpita, he manifests differently to different worshippers according to, as per their process of worship. Right? So he said actually when we say Brahmeti, Paramatmeti, Bhagawan, they are not as such three separate features of the Lord. It is three perceptions actually, as per the process of worship. You know, the Lord has become into these three separate features. Brahmeti, Paramatmeti, Bhagawan are not three separate features actually. The Lord is undivided always. He is the one. But a person perceives him as per the process of worship. By Gyan Marg, person perceives him as a Brahman. Therefore, although he is avakalpita, he is without differentiation, but he is perceived differently by the process of worship which a one takes. That point is mentioned by Prahlad Maharaj. Right? So Prahlad Maharaj is giving them, you know, PhD level knowledge, you know, in the nursery class only. Right? That's the potency of Prahlad Maharaj. And he made them understood and right. So in this way Prahlad Maharaj also here Vishnu Thakur points out, he says Prahlad Maharaj says, by the power of his Maya he seems to be without power. Right? So sometimes people say, you know, Lord looks like without power. That is by the power of his Maya. But when that Maya is overcome by bhakti, then the Lord becomes visible according to degree of bhakti. Okay, so that all has been explained in this particular purport. So, summarizingly, Prabhupada just point out towards the last paragraph. I am paraphrasing. Prabhupada says, actually realizing the Supreme Personality of Godhead is not difficult. One just need to understand Vaishnava philosophy, right? And stay in the association of devotees, specially take instructions from advanced devotees. Then everything will be perfect. Prabhupada concludes this particular purport, right? The four verses together. Guru text 24. Tasmat sarveshu bhuteshu dayam kurata sauridam bhavam asuram unmuchya yatu shatya dhokshaja.
Therefore, my dear young friends born of demons, please act in such a way that the Supreme Lord, who is beyond the conception of material knowledge, will be satisfied. Give up your demoniac nature and act without enmity or duality. Such mercy to all living entities by enlightening them in devotional service, thus becoming their well-wishers.
Okay, so Prahlad Maharaj again, now we can see from the word tasma, therefore, you know, he's giving concluding instructions. Tasma sarveshu bhuteshu dayam kurata sauhridam. So first of all, Prahlad Maharaj asked them to give up their inimical nature, right? Bhavam asuram unmuchya. Give up the household life entangling, take up to Krishna consciousness, stay away from all the asuras, right? Approach Lord Narayan, render service to him. Not just that, now Prahlad Maharaj is saying, you also start preaching. You know, it's amazing, you know, first class, you know. He said, dayam kurut sohridam. Please show mercy to all. Now that you are understanding this Bhagat Dharma, he will see that their heart is transforming. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj, in the very first class, he instructs his classmates to preach also. Dayam kurut sohridam. Right? So Prahlad Maharaj, he is not even just finished the first DYS course, you know. still also Prahlad Maharaj is giving instruction for him to preach. Right? And that was the mood of Prabhupada also, actually. You know. Even the beginner, you know, you have learnt something, you start preaching according to whatever you have learned, little bit. That's Prahlad Maharaj. And Prabhupada glorifies, Prabhupada says, Prahlad Maharaj, this is third line, Prahlad Maharaj ultimately instructed his class friend, the son of demon, to accept the process of devotional service by preaching the science of Krishna consciousness to everyone. Preaching is the best service to the Lord. So therefore, Prabhupada highly appreciates, you know. And therefore, Prabhupada then quotes Sridhara Mahaprabhu also, who advised everyone to become a guru devotee. Sridhara Mahaprabhu advised everyone to become a guru devotee. See the middle of the paragraph. And preach Krishna consciousness. Yare dekhe tare kaho Krishna upadesh. This is the easiest way to realize the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then Prabhupada says the word sohridam implies preaching. Right? If you are real well-wisher of someone, you should actually connect him to Krishna. That is sohridam. Okay, we go to text 25. Tushte cha tatra kim alabhyam ananta adde kim tair guna vetikarad ihaye sasiddha dharmadaya kim agune na chakangshite na saram jusham charanayor upagayatam na.
Nothing is unobtainable for devotees who have satisfied the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the cause of all causes, the original source of everything. The Lord is the reservoir of unlimited spiritual qualities. For devotees, therefore, who are transcendental to the modes of material nature, what is the use of following the principles of religion, economic development, sense gratification, and liberation, which are all automatically obtainable under the influence of the modes of nature? We, devotees, always glorify the lotus feet of the Lord, and therefore we need not ask for anything in terms of dharma, kama, artha, and moksha.
So, Prahlad Maharaj, in his very first preaching class, he said, give up this dharma, artha, kama, moksha. Dharma adaya kim agunen cha kangshitena. Said, my dear friend, never desire this dharma, artha, kama, moksha. Dharma adaya refers to dharma, artha, and kama, and agunen refers to liberation. Why? Because he says this dharma adaya, this three varga, right? What is the need of dharma, artha, and kama, which are achieved automatically, so siddha? They are achieved automatically by transformations of the gunas, gunavati karat. Right? So dharma, artha, kama will just be achieved by the transformation of the gunas, so siddha. Right? You don't have to put any special endeavor over there. Right? And then what about liberation? Agunen. Oh, he said, what is the need of liberation? Since we have obtained, we have got the essence of liberation, which is, he's saying, Saram Jusham Charanayor Upagayatamna. We are singing the glories of Lord's lotus feet, which is Saram Jusham, the essence of all liberation. Why desire liberation now? Right? So dharma, artha, kam, they are anyway useless, Prahlad Maharaj says, right? Or automatically obtained. There is no desire, need to desire liberation also, since we have got the essence of all liberation. It's a very, very beautiful instruction of Prahlad Maharaj. And Prabhupada gives another very beautiful understanding. Prabhupada says, dharma, artha, kama, and moksha are not very desirable by the devotees. On the other hand, dharma, artha, kama, and moksha are desiring to serve the devotees at the very first opportunity. Devotees don't desire them, but a devotee is very desirable by them. They are desiring to serve the devotees, Prabhupada says. At the first opportunity, for you, in the very first paragraph, Prabhupada says that. Okay, text 26. Dharmartha kam itiyo abhihitas trivarga kam itiyo bhitihatsavarga ikshatrai nayadamo vividha chavarta manne tadetadakhilam nigamasya satyam Swatmarapanam sasurhid paramasya pumsa.
Religion, economic development, and sense gratification, these are described in the Vedas as Trivarga, or three ways to salvation. Within these three categories are education and self-realization. Ritualistic ceremonies performed according to Vedic injunction, logic, the science of law and order, and the various means of earning one's livelihood. These are the external subject matters of study in the Vedas, and therefore I consider them material. However, I consider surrender to the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu to be transcendental.
Okay, so now the sons of the demons, they said, look, you are saying dharma, artha, kama are not the goals. of human life, then why the two sons of Shukracharya, our teachers, they have said that these are prescribed in the Vedas. You know, the Vedas prescribe dharma, artha, kama and moksha, right? So, but you are saying, we should not go for it. We should not be concerned about it. Right? So, therefore, Prahlad Maharaj says, Manne tadet rakhilam nigamasya satyam. Yes, I accept that it is true that these three vargas, even liberation, is prescribed in the Vedas. It is truth. That is true, but this is not the ultimate truth, he is saying. There are sections of the Vedas which prescribe dharma, artha, kama, moksha, but that's not the ultimate truth. The ultimate truth, paramasya, right? So, atma arpanam, to fully surrender to the Supreme Lord, that is the ultimate truth, Prahlad Maharaj says. So, there are many other secondary or the lower truths, right? But they are meant for those who are materially inclined, right? They are prescribed in the Vedas for some people, but not for the saintly people, right? For saintly people, it is so atma arpanam. So there are sections of the Vedas which actually prescribe so atma arpanam, but other sections prescribe dharma, artha, kama, moksha. Therefore, he is saying actually dharma, artha, kama, moksha is not the ultimate. So Srila Sridhar Swami has commented, all these goals, which dharma, artha, kama, moksha, are proclaimed by the Vedas, which are part of the three gunas, nigamasya. The Vedas beyond the three gunas proclaim surrender to the Lord. And Prabhupada says in the middle of the purport, to act on the material platform even if one's activities are sanctioned by the Vedas is not the ultimate goal of life. The ultimate goal of life is to stay on the spiritual platform, fully surrendered to the Param Purusha, the Supreme Person. So one should remember that the goal of Varnashram Dharma is dharma. No, Varnashram Dharma is basically dharma, artha, kama, moksha only. The ultimate goal of Varnashram Dharma is moksha only. One should perform Varnashram Dharma and gather artha and desire, fulfill some sense gratification and ultimately attain liberation. Right? But one should understand the point that the Varnashram Dharma has been, the purpose of Varnashram Dharma is to transcend Varnashram Dharma, actually. So therefore one should not remain stuck there. That's the problem. Purpose of Varnashram Dharma is not to remain there, but to transcend it and actually go to Bhagavad Dharma. Right? So therefore Varnashram Dharma, in that sense, because it is ultimate, it will be given up. So therefore, Bhagavatam says it's a cheating dharma. Chaitanya Charitamrita directly says that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu came to dissipate all the darkness and kick away all the cheating. And dharma, artha, kama, moksha, vancha, adi, sab, put them in that category. Dharma, artha, and moksha, kama, etc. The Lord has descended to actually save a person from all kind of cheating, including dharma, artha, kama, moksha. Yeah, because if a person remains there, he is cheated of the goal of the life. Like that. 27. Jnanam tadetadamalam duravapamaha. नारायणो नरसखा किल नारदाया एकांतिनां भगवतस्तद किंचनानां पादारविंद रजसा प्लुत देहिनां स्यात्।
Narayana, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the well-wisher and friend of all living entities, formerly explained this transcendental knowledge to the great saint Narada. Such knowledge is extremely difficult to understand without the mercy of a saintly person like Narada. But everyone who has taken shelter of Narada's disciplic succession can understand this confidential knowledge.
Sunuda, the friends were wondering, hey, where did you learn all this from, you know? So he is explaining the source. Lord Narayan teaches to Narada this dharma, you know what I am talking. Jnanam tadetat amalam. This spotless knowledge was taught by Narayano Narsakha Akil Naradaya. So, but Prahlad Maharaj is saying, although this knowledge is difficult to understand, right? This knowledge is durvapam. This knowledge is difficult to understand. But for those who take shelter of pure devotees, it is easy. Right? So therefore, he is saying that, therefore, let's we all will take shelter of the great sage Narada Muni in the shelter of his teachings. And we'll be able to understand it. Right? There will be no difficulty. 28. Shutam etan maya purvam jnanam vijnana samyutam dharmam bhagavatam shuddham narada deva darshanat.
Prahlad Maharaj continued, I received this knowledge from the great saint Narada Muni, who is always engaged in devotional service. This knowledge, which is called Bhagavad Dharma, is fully scientific. It is based on logic and philosophy and is freed from all material contamination.
Okay, so Prahlad Maharaj is explaining the source of this knowledge. And now just the last, the Daityas, they ask a question. Shri Daityaha Putraha Uchu Praratvam vayam chapi Nartenyam vidmahe gurum Etabhyam guru putrabhyam Balanam apihishvaro Balasya antah purasthasya Mahatsango duranvaya Shindinaha samshayam somya Shyaschet visharambhakaranam.
The sons of the demons replied, Dear Prahlad, neither you nor we know any teacher or spiritual master other than Shanda and Amarka, the sons of Shukracharya. After all, we are children and they are our controllers. For you especially, who always remain within the palace, it is very difficult to associate with a great personality. Dear friend, most gentle one, would you kindly explain how it was possible for you to hear Narada? Kindly dispel our doubts in this regard.
Right, so Prahlad Maharaj explained that I learned this Bhagavad Dharma from Narada. But they are saying, hey, when did you took these private tuitions? You know, you never bunked the classes. We saw you all attending all classes. And then you went to your house, palace. And you were always within the palace. Ye alag se tuition kab liya, kaise liya? You know, this is totally unknown to us. You know, where, when, how? You took all this private, you know, auxiliary course or whatever, you know. So then Prahlad Maharaj will explain, you know, how did he hear and where did he hear this Bhagavad Dharma from Narada Muni. That we will study tomorrow. जय ग्रंथराज श्रीमद्भागवतम की जय। श्रील प्रहलाद महाराज की जय। श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। निताय गौर प्रेमानंदे।